Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, April 23rd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 52, the fourth paragraph that begins with the Wright brothers. We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are France N., who will be reading the 12 steps, Carol F. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Sherry KB, Betsy H., and Julie EB. The share ID for Thursday, April 22nd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,816. And for this morning's Friday, April 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 16,823. Our newcomer greeter for today is Lois P., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask France N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, France.
Good morning, fellows. This is France N. I live in Lillian, Alabama, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, France N. And Carol F., good morning. If you could read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Yes, good morning, Kathleen and everyone on the line. This is Carol F. from Maryland. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Carol F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 52, the fourth paragraph that begins with the Wright brothers. We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And Sherry KB, good morning. Can you get us started, please?
Yes. Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for your service this morning. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. The Wright brothers' almost childish faith that they could build a machine which could fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. Without that, nothing could have happened. We agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. When others showed us that God's sufficiency worked with them, we began to feel like those who had insisted the Wright brothers could never fly. Okay, so how perfect that we're on this paragraph today with everything going on in the world and the landing and everything. And, you know, childish faith, you know, I think about that. And I think of, you know, when I was a kid and how things were magical to me and it was easier for me to believe in things. I had a lot of hope and inspired to. And this is exactly what the Wright brothers did, and they didn't give up. And, you know, I was looking up the word mainspring this morning, and it says deriving force, primary resource, and steady source of energy. So that energy, that childish faith that I had as a kid, I wish I had more as an adult because I wouldn't be in the predicaments I'd been in. That, you know, it says nothing could have happened. So, you know, it's acting as if, and that does something to the brain that when you act as if, you start believing it. And, you know, because it's saying that if I don't act as if, whether I believe in God or I don't believe in God, that, you know, I don't even have to believe in God, but I have to believe in something greater than me because my self-sufficiency never worked. So, and it never solved my problems, but only something greater than me can solve my problems. And when I think about how Bill decided to use the Wright brothers, I mean, that's all they did. They went on faith. They went on blind faith. And so that's what it's asking me to do. And it's interesting how throughout the book he's used things like, you know, lunar flight and newsreels and, you know, rocketed in the fourth dimension. And, you know, here again, it's talking about, you know, flying, having a faith, and having a trust to believe that something greater than me can rocket me into the fourth dimension of existence. And, you know, I just think that's what it's telling me. I need to go in blind faith. If I don't believe that this thing can work, I need to act as if, and I need to trust something greater than myself in order to do it, because I can look at my own record, and what I've tried to do on self-sufficiency has never worked. But with my higher power, it has worked. And I really like the idea of having a faith in, you know, because it will rocket me into the fourth dimension of existence if I have this faith and, you know, and I fly with it. It's just amazing to me. And just having that energy and that resource and acting as if to believe and work in the steps has made such a difference in my life. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Kathleen.
And thank you, Sherry KB, for getting us started this morning. Okay, we're on page 52, the fourth paragraph that begins with the Wright brothers. And if, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Kristen R.
Kristen R.
Darian K.
Was that Darian or Darian?
Darian.
Darian.
Dana P.
Dana P.
Robin.
All right. Robin P.
Leah S.
Anyone else? Leah S. Okay, thanks for stepping up, guys. Okay, let's stop there. I have Kristen R., Darian K., Dana P., Robin P., and Leah S. So go ahead, please, Kristen R.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen, for your service. My name is Kristen R. I'm a compulsive eater in Virginia. And the term that jumps out to me is God-sufficiency, as opposed to self-sufficiency. I need to be relying on my higher power each day for every decision I make. And that's something I've been working on lately. You know, rather than just getting up in the morning, doing my morning meditation, saying my prayers, and then leaving God behind for the rest of the day, I'm trying to incorporate my higher power into my day, into my every action, every decision I make, down to the smallest thing, and, you know, especially when I don't know what the right thing to do next is, then I need to get quiet and I need to ask my higher power. Because without that, then I'm not working a spiritual program. I'm just working a tools program. Without that reliance on my higher power, I'm just coasting, and I'll coast right back into relapse if I'm not careful. So I need to rely on God. I need to ask God for strength and direction to do the next right thing. And I need to get quiet and listen, because that's where God speaks to me. So with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Kristen R. in Virginia. Darian K., you're up, followed by Dana P. Go ahead, Darian.
Oh, good morning. This is Darian K. I'm in the Berkshires of Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. Yeah, what a great paragraph. So I looked at, you know, childish faith, the childish, anything childish, like in a good way, childish, means that you don't think about it too much. It's just, you know, take it for granted. It's there. You don't have to explain it or intellectualize about it. You know, kids just are very accepting and resilient and, you know, just take things the way they are, and you know, us adults complicate things and intellectualize and analyze. What do they say? Analysis paralysis, right? So, it's good to think about that. I can just have sort of a pure faith that this higher power, this creative intelligence in my life will keep me, you know, from hurting myself with the food, with emotions, with, you know, resentments, you know, all the things that we try to work on a daily basis. You know, it's just so important. And, you know, for me, if this paragraph were written today in 2021, I'd be writing about, you know, smartphones. Like, whoever thought you could talk into a phone and have it do things or get you places or, you know, it's still amazing. I'm a little bit older, so, you know, I get amazed by these things. And I just think, wow, you know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that we can just do certain things and that, you know, and not have to, you know, think about it too much. But it's discoveries by these people that are just incredibly smart. And you know, simplify it. Just believe that I am not, you know, I am not God, that I cannot do this by myself. Self-sufficiency failed miserably for me. Took home the diets, maybe did them a day, maybe a couple hours. weekends were not for dieting, so the self-sufficiency went out the window, and got back on the stick Monday and then failed again, just that crazy cycle. So, you know, I need that God sufficiency to work in my life, and it has been for quite a while now. And I'm so grateful. I'm grateful also, like it says too, that, you know, we work with them, because this is not I'm not doing this in a vacuum. I'm doing this with all of you through meetings, through phone calls, through connection. And connection is super important these days. So I just have to remain connected and tethered to my higher power, to all of you. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Darian K. in Massachusetts. Good morning, Dana P. You are up, followed by Robin P.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service. And gosh, Dana P., compulsive overeater, bulimic, and in California. How wonderful, you know, this whole idea of the Wright brothers and faith. All of these ideas are pouring into me right now. And when I think about the Wright brothers, I think about skeptics. You know, and I think about faith and I think about skeptics, and what skeptics say is, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. And what the Wright brothers, their proposal, if you will, was, I'll see it when I believe it. And that's what faith is to me. I'll see it when I believe it. But not only that, it's not like they just believed it and then sat on a rock in lotus position and meditated and said, okay, let's see it, because I believe it. They got into action. They made plans. They studied birds. They watched birds. And, I mean, how God is in that for me, really. And they watched the environment, and they watched the wind, and they studied, and they put things together, materials. And who would think, you know, they used fabric, very light fabric, that's a flimsy thing like that. And then they went out in the field and they experimented, watched a great movie on the Wright brothers and how they were running and laughing with this machine, and it crashed a lot of times. I mean, just like me, crash, crash, crash. But I get up and I continue. And that's what they did. And it's just so beautiful to me. How Bill in his writing takes these examples and puts them into this book so that we can relate to it just like we relate to our fellows in this program. And so, you know, I have a whole lot more to say about that, but 3 minutes is not enough time to share how excited I am about this idea of faith. And what is it that children, childlike awe and wonder, it's just so beautiful, that approaching our day with a childlike wonder, with an expectation of a beautiful, beautiful experience to see something new. And that's all about the set aside prayer, you know, get my ideas out of it, and God, show me another way to be, another way to live in this world that is beautiful and full of awe and wonder. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Dana P. in California. Robin P., you're up, followed by Leah S. Good morning, Robin.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone who does service on this meeting. I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm in Vero Beach, Florida, currently. And I'm actually an inventor, and I'm a serial inventor. I've invented several things, and one of them I invented for planes so that people wouldn't get blood clots on long flights. And there's portable pedals that fold flat and come in little bags. You can fit in your fitness easily and conveniently anywhere. And I invented it for planes. And I remember when I invented it, because a million Americans get blood clots every year from long flights because of the cabin pressure. And so I remember so many industry people within the airline saying, you'll never be able to do that. They'll never let you bring that on a plane. They'll never let people be able to pedal on a flight from their feet. And all of our customers, no one ever had a problem. And, you know, I remember learning, and now everyone uses it at home for COVID, so it's ironic, but I invented it for one thing and it's now being used for something else. But what I learned, too, when I studied and read books on the Wright brothers was, people said they were insane and that they were liars and that it wasn't true, that it didn't fly. And they discounted their flights, their initial flights, and literally said they were liars and insane. And they had flown. And it just, they went through so many trials and tribulations to succeed and to keep their vision alive. And I relate to that and just with God and my abstinence. The most important thing through all of this is that I'm abstinent and in recovery and working my recovery and working the 12 steps and being of service to God and my fellows, because without my recovery, none of these inventions that I've created would have succeeded or happened. Because it's challenging to invent something, and it just takes sanity and due diligence and perseverance and holding to the vision and going with the flow and pivoting, and all of that takes reliance on God and clarity of purpose. And if I was in the food, all of that, God forbid, goes out the window. So I'm so grateful for my recovery, and I'm so grateful that my eyes are on God and my recovery, and I know what's most important in my life. And I'm so grateful for all of you. It's such a we recovery. You know, I always remember that illness and isolation begin with I, and wellness begins with W, and I'm with we, I mean, and I'm so grateful for the we. God bless everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. in Florida. And Leah, before I take you, I just want to remind everybody we're on page 52, the fourth paragraph that begins with the Wright brothers. And well, I'll be taking some more names after Leah. So good morning, Leah. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. This is Leah S., recovered in Brooklyn. I'm very grateful, extremely grateful. So the paragraph tells us, and we believe it, and I did, and I, as a dutiful person in recovery, wanted and grabbed onto recovery, listened to everything you said, but did I do this in my life? Am I applying this into my life? And there, oh, by the grace of God, this morning I woke up, and I woke up to chaos. And I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I didn't eat my abstinent foods since 2014. And here I am. I'm waking up to a real yelling match outside my bedroom door. And I'm saying to myself, I'm a recovered person, but you know what I used to do? I used to hear people fighting. I used to go, jump out of bed. I'll make peace over there. I'll do everything. I'm the one that can do this. And as I was jumping out of bed, I said to myself, wait a minute. Pause. pause. What is the pause? What is the truth about this whole program that I'm in? I need to apply it. Dear God, please set aside everything I think I know. I'm going to be the peacemaker. And please come and take a walk into my heart of how much agony I have been through in this entire program. Please help me to see the truth and what is my role over here. And my role was to just stay in my room and pray for peace and for health and for sanity. And as I was praying, and I heard all that, and I was saying, dear God, how can calamity be turned into chaos? It really doesn't have to be. It can remain it can remain tranquility. But I need you to guide me. And I was quiet. And then about an hour after it was quiet outside as well, I came out and I said to myself, and I was reflecting on what I did, and I thought to myself, wow, you know what, dear God? You just gave me the thought. I remained with my dignity. I remained with my self-respect. I don't have to know what went on, and I didn't need to be involved. That's what it means, bringing God into the entire picture of everyday life, whether you're abstinent or you're not abstinent, because it's going to bring you to the kind of feeling that, no, I don't need any more of those junk foods that are going to harm me. No, I don't. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Leah S. in New York. Okay, I am ready for some more names of who would like to share on page 52, the fourth paragraph, beginning with the Wright brothers, anyone who has not shared in the last 3 days.
Penny L.C.
Penny L.C.
Sandy S.
Sandy S.
Deborah M.
Deborah M.
Wendy S.
Wendy S.
Barbara W.
Barbara W. Anyone else want to jump in? Okay. We're going to have some time after these, so be ready, but I'll take... I have Penny L.C., Sandy S., Deborah M., Wendy S., and Barbara W. So good morning, Penny L.C. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I stop and ask myself, what is the... purpose of this paragraph? Well, it's to discuss the difference of belief and no belief and the reasons why I can choose to believe in a power greater than myself. And here is one reason: when others showed us that God's deficiency worked for them, the same way that the Wright brothers showed the world that there was a way where others didn't believe. So as a recovered person in this way of life, I get to show others who don't believe that I do and how it works for me. And then I can just offer, you know, that if they want to try. This way of believing, you know, it's not a have to, but it's something that's a choice for all of us, and anyone can choose to try it. And chances are, if someone's struggling and they ask themselves, you know, how well have I been doing on my own, you know, versus, well, maybe I can give this thing a try. And I know that has worked for a lot of people. So if there are newcomers on the line, this is an opportunity just to consider another way of approaching this challenge of where our life has been, you know, full of misery and depression, and it can be different. Mine definitely has changed so much by adopting a belief and a reliance on a higher power, and by keeping that connection vital today. And I strongly recommend it. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC in Washington. Sandy S., you are up, followed by Deborah M. Good morning, Sandy.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, Sandy S. from Asheville, North Carolina. God's sufficiency, like, what does that mean? Number one, I never had self-reliance. I have always doubted my capabilities with everything, no matter what the evidence. What I had, which is different from a lot of people in OA, was the opposite of isolation, was feeling like I had to get health from another person, I had to get stability, whatever it was, I had people reliance. And it's really difficult one day at a time to give that up. And I have one day at a time, and really relying on God. And what does that mean in the moment? Well, the biggest thing that comes up for me is just two things. One, in the line of work I do, I have tremendous self-doubt. And like yesterday, it was like all over the place. And the indications from the clients I work with that they want to continue to work with me. So I just have to keep going despite all the self-doubt. That's God reliance. The other thing that happened that was kind of like a challenge was an incredible spiritual experience yesterday. God, I really felt, left me to a healer that was just working, doing something with my brainstem with his hands, whatever it was very gentle. And I had this vision of blue skies and trees, and it was just so calming. And then when I looked out my window, I'm in the mountains, have beautiful mountain view. I see the same blue sky and trees, and like I feel I'm connected with nature in a way I never was before. Like there's a transformation of my consciousness. And harder than pushing through an obstacle, which was the first example, was letting in something good really happening, some real transformation in my mind. And that's so hard for me to trust. And I just wanted to put that out there. I'm more comfortable with the problems than feeling the peace of God. It's so hard for me because I'm so afraid I'll lose it. But I just wanted to put that out there today, that I'm really feeling better than I've ever had in my whole life. And that's scary to say. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy S. in North Carolina. Deborah M., you are up, followed by Wendy S. Go ahead, please, Deborah.
Thank you. I'm Deborah M., a recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore, Maryland. Looking at a line in the paragraph, where I was and where I am now. I have four children, and every one of my children has been arrested at one time or another, and some of them more than once. And I always was sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. I advocated, I put on my superhero costume. I was strong, strong, strong. I would figure it out. I would be there. I would show up. I would pay. And I realized this morning that I was worshiping this image of strong, independent woman. I was just known by everyone as a strong, independent woman. And I loved that, and I worshiped that. But I worshipped that image at a great cost to myself. because it meant sometimes standing in the kitchen eating. It meant waking up worried and going to sleep worried. It meant tense, painful shoulders and gritting teeth and driving fast. And so recently, something happened again, and I was talking to my sponsor about it, and she said, "Do you believe that you're strong enough to handle this?" And I hesitated. And she kind of laughed, and she said, "I hope you give me the right answer." And I laughed and said, "No, I'm really not strong enough to handle this." And for the first time, I just realized today, seeing this line, I wasn't sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve my problems. Probably for the first time, and I'm fairly old. And she helped me. My sponsor helped me to see that I had support in my life. She helped me to see what the facts are. She helped me to see that my focus has to be on how I can help for the next 24 hours. Facts, not feelings, not wishes. And I'm just so happy to say that. God's sufficiency will not only have to solve my problems, but my kids' problems. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Deborah M. in Maryland. And Wendy S., you're up, followed by Barbara W. Go ahead, please, Wendy.
Hi, Wendy S., compulsive overeater in New York. I'm in Canada right now. I have 5 days of abstinence today, and this is everything everyone has said has just really given me hope. I had a really rough night last night, and I didn't want to get out of bed this morning. I love what everyone talked about in the reading from the book. I'm sorry, I'm crying. I feel that I was various people reliant, and I'm trying to become God reliant. Everything I do, every second of the day, staying connected to my higher power and not just people. And I'm very disconnected, and I'm in another country, and I can't get back right now yet to the States. Leaving here is a nightmare at the moment, and we still have curfew and blah blah blah, but everything's closed here still, and it's just, I'm so grateful. I don't know what I would do if I hadn't found this meeting. And I'm just grateful to all of you. Thank you very much. Ta.
Thank you, Wendy S. in New York. Thanks for being here with us this morning. Okay, Barbara, before I take you, just a reminder, we are on page 52, the fourth paragraph that begins with the Wright brothers. And I can take a few more names after Barbara. So good morning, Barbara. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, visionaries, and good. Thank you for your service. I remember first hearing about the Wright brothers back in the mid-50s when I was, you know, maybe in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, in that range. And I'm thinking now, gosh, that was just 40 years after, or was it 50? I guess it was 50 years after they had done it. And I'm going, wow, that's a lifetime. And I'm just separated by a lifetime. But what jumped out at me of this paragraph, I'm a retired primary teacher, was childish faith and the word mainspring, which I've heard about the leap of faith, and this mainspring for me was just another word that meant the same thing. And I got this vision of children on these modern trampolines that you can put in your backyard with netting around it for safety, and how much fun children have now and how much trust the parents have in having something that their children can enjoy without thinking they're going to really hurt themselves. But mainspring to me and faith, it really took that something within me somebody asked me this morning, said, how did you know when you were, the shift came or something like that came? And I said, it really was like gradually I could almost feel the movement internally and spiritually. And the real, what I call deepening into my own higher power, deepening into that, had to do with the mainspring, had to do with something. I had to move in some way. Maybe it was a leap. Maybe it was a mainspring of me jumping and going up into the unknown and finding something in the unknown that I had never felt before. I'm 75 years old, and I guess I'm sure that my higher power said, well, she needs a lot more faith right now. I got it because I was willing to take that leap and willing to go into that unknown. The Wright brothers went up into the unknown. That could have crashed that plane and killed them both. So, my mainspring had to be.
Time, please.
Okay, God, I'm yours. Jump in on that trampoline. You know, I'm 8 years old. Boing, boing, up I go. And it's as if I never come down. And isn't that a wonderful thought? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Barbara W. Okay, who else who has not shared in the past few days would like to share on page 52, the fourth paragraph that begins with the Wright brothers?
Alexis F.
Alexis F. Anyone else?
Jody H.
Jody H. Okay. Going. Gone. We'll go with Alexis H. Alexis F. and Jody H. Go ahead, please, Alexis.
What amazed me about this paragraph was that the press didn't come to the Wright brothers' first flight at Kitty Hawk, but they believed in themselves. And I remember my family saying things like, every time you see Lexi a month later, she's heavier or 30 pounds less. She's up and down the scales. And 4 years and 10 months ago, after many years in this program, I had a breakthrough. And I don't know whether it was my desperation, my surrender, or simply getting disgusted with going the yo-yo syndrome. But I got abstinent. And 110 pounds later, I found higher power. Discoveries can be anything, like reading the big book, like any of the literature in the program that helps, talking to people on the phone. And all of these things have helped me. If I talk about the right things, and if I discover and things hit me in the right way, like the Wright brothers, they had science also. They studied birds. They never gave up. I was in the program 45 years, up and down on the scales from 300 pounds down and down to 135. And I really needed to participate in a program that I believed in, like I believe in a vision for you, in order to gain my abstinence back. I listened for a long time before I participated. I was recently diagnosed with cancer of the kidneys, and I'm having a kidney removed on June 8th.
Thank you.
And, you know, did someone say time?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alexis, so much. Alexis F. Yeah, I'm timing people on 3 minutes. So, okay. Jody H., go ahead, please.
Yes, Jody H., recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm just in a really good mood today. I put my hands in the trust of a surgeon this past Monday and had surgery on my neck, and he thought it was pretty funny that I was concerned about my diet while I was in the hospital. I got to tell you a short story that my higher power took care of me. And just like he took care of the Wright brothers, he took care of me as I put my faith in the surgeon's hands. And everything came out perfectly well. And I was in my hospital room the following morning, and my breakfast was delivered. And I said, I can't eat any of this. It was like all a sugary muffin and a sugary cereal and one of my absent foods I need to watch out for. My trigger foods is sugar. So I said, what am I going to do? And I said, well, I fasted before. I can be fine. And so then I just heard outside my door, somebody sent up some scrambled eggs. And does anybody want them? And nobody wanted them. So I said, I rang my buzzer and I said, can I have some scrambled eggs instead of what I'm been delivered? And they said, sure, we just had some brought up. And so my higher power took care of even my needs to stay abstinent while I was in the hospital. Everything went well and I went home the following afternoon. So as I'm recovering at home, I'm saying to myself, what a good God that he takes care of every little need that I could possibly have. And when I go on a new adventure,